saw that. Guys, we are masters of making excuses. The very first human, Adam and Eve, the very first humans, made amazing excuses. And so, guys, the first thing that we make excuses for is why we sin. Make excuses for here in Genesis chapter 3, the third chapter detailing humanity. Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit, and God called them on it. And he goes up to Adam and says, "Why did you do this?" Well, here in Genesis chapter 3, 12 through 13, the man said, "The woman you put here with me." I think he pointed a finger at God. "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit of the tree and I ate it." And so God says, okay, goes up to Eve and says, "Eve, why did you do this?" The woman said, "Well, the serpent deceived me and I ate." The very first action of fallen humanity, besides sowing fig leaves together to cover themselves, was to blame it on someone else, to blame their disobedience of God on someone else. It is as natural as breathing in the air around us. We are excuse makers when it comes to sin. One of the reasons we get stuck in our sins, you guys. How many of us know people that are struggling with the same sin? Maybe you. Same sin over and over and over. And they never seem to get any better, never seem to overcome it, struggle with the same sin. Well, one of the reasons is because we make excuses for it. How do you know? How many people do you know? They keep dating complete losers. It's like a bird hitting a window, boom, you know, and then the bird hit the window again, and then hit the window. They date the same kind of people, get their hearts broken, and they always have the same thing. Men are pigs, women are evil. Well, that may be true to some extent, but as long as you're always blaming someone else, you're always going to get the same results. Blaming others for our sins is how we get stuck, you guys. We get stuck. Doing everything we can to avoid taking responsibility, what keeps us down, keeps us stuck in the same sin over and over and over again. And guys, as long as it's someone else's fault, as long as it's something else's fault, never, ever break free of it. When we never change, we continue to make the same mistakes over and over again, we get the same results over and over again. So I want to ask you guys a question this morning. Who this morning are you blaming for your sins? Who is it? You know, are you blaming your parents this morning? Blaming your parents? You know, my parents are messed up. That's why I have such a bad temper. Are you doing that this morning? My parents are messed up. That's why I don't trust people. That's why I push everybody away. That's why I sabotage every relationship I get myself into. Is that what you're saying, maybe? Are you blaming the man or the system? I hear a lot of that these days. Blaming the government, blaming the man, blaming the system. Maybe you're justifying your lack of integrity on the job by saying, you know, I cheat on my time sheets because, well, they don't pay me enough anyway. Or they don't care about me, so I don't care about them. Maybe. Maybe are you blaming your spouse? Men, today, are you looking at me and maybe saying, well, if she treated me with more respect, I wouldn't be flirting with other women at work. If she gave me the time of day, I wouldn't be looking at porn. Women, maybe are you looking at me and saying, if he was more responsible, I wouldn't demean him at work like I do. If he was more attentive, I wouldn't scream at him like I do. Who are we looking to blame this morning for our sins? Well, guys, people who are good at making excuses are rarely good at anything else. And the gospel, on the other hand, tells us not to make excuses. We are supposed to approach God in full repentance. Full repentance, not making excuses for ourselves or blaming it on anyone else, but saying, God, I'm the one that has disobeyed you. I'm the one that's responsible, and I need you to forgive me. And when we approach God like that, then he justifies us and forgives us all sins, what the Bible says. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So, guys, we're making excuses why we sin this morning. We need to stop because that's getting us stuck. It's getting us stuck. The second thing we make excuses for is why we can't do what God calls us to do. There's a guy named Moses in the Bible that was approached by God in Exodus chapter 3. We went from Genesis chapter 3 to Exodus chapter 3. Excuse-making chapters. But guys, everyone in here has a purpose. You were created with a purpose for God and by God. You were saved from sin to kingdom work, okay? When you're saved, it's two actions. You're saved from sin, but you're also saved to the work of the kingdom. That's why God saves us. That's why he does that. He doesn't just cleanse us from our sins and give us an eternal place in heaven. He saves us to the work that he's called us to, set free. And baptism isn't the end goal, it's the beginning. Say, from sins to the work of the kingdom. And when Moses is approached by God, says, Moses, I got an assignment for you. I got something I want you to do. See, my people, Israel, they're in slavery. And I want you to go down there, and I want you to lead them out. And Moses gives him five excuses. Interestingly enough, the same five excuses we give God of why we can't do what he wants us to do. The first excuse is this. He says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? In other words, he's saying, who am I? I'm doubting myself. I don't have what it takes. You got the wrong guy, God. That's what he says. And what I hear today is when God calls you to do something else, he goes, oh, me? No. That's the pastor's job. That's what we pay him for. That's for someone more dedicated than me. That's not for me. Me, God, you know who you're talking to here? Me? I'm the guy who dot dot. I'm the girl who dot dot dot. Same excuse. And God's not buying that one, so he goes in the second excuse. He says, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what's his name? What should I tell them? So the second excuse is, who are you? I don't know enough. God, I don't even know you. I'm barely hanging on here. I'm not a man of prayer. I'm not a woman of study. I barely know the words to Jesus loves me. Okay, and I'm doing good just to make it to church once a month, and I don't really know you, Lord. I don't have the depth of faith that it would take to do what you want me to do. And God goes, aha. I think we see the problem. And then God looks at you and says, you ever seen a mother bird? You know how she gets her little ones to fly? She pushes them out of the nest. And God says, guess who invented that strategy? Me. And actually, many times God's call to follow us, God's call to follow him is what drives us to deeper faith in him. There's nothing like the call of God to make you take your faith more seriously. When God called me, not only just to plant the church, but to begin the ministries over in Asia, in hostile territory, in India, Nepal, and Pakistan, boy, I tell you what, I became a man of prayer. I became a man of study. Because there's nothing like God's call on your life to drive you deeper into faith. Many times he calls us not just to accomplish the kingdom work, but to bring us closer to him. Right, so God's not buying that excuse. So Moses moves on to excuse number three. He says this, what if they don't believe me or listen to me when I say the Lord did not appear to you? So in other words, he's saying, what if they don't believe me? I'm just not convincing. I'm not convincing. I'm not a salesman. I can't do what you want me to do. He's basically what we tell God is, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I've never done anything like this before. I won't get good results. How many of you have ever told God that? He wants you to go on a mission trip. He wants you to begin a study or a prayer life, or he wants you, I just won't get good results. Well, I found out this much about God. The results are up to him. The results are up to him. It's not my job or your job to get results. I know that's very, very un-American to say, but this is the way God has set it up. He set it up that you are not God, you are not the Holy Spirit, and you are not in charge of the results. If he calls you to it, the results are up to him. Your job is to be faithful, to simply do what God wants you to do. That's all. The results are up to him. If he wants it to succeed, it'll succeed. If he wants it to fail, it'll fail. But it is up to you to be faithful. And that's what God tells Moses. He says, simply do what I want you to do. I'll handle the results. These are my people, Moses. They're not yours. You may love them, but I love them even more, and I've got big plans for them. I want you to go, and I will deliver the results. Remember that, Christians. So Moses is still not feeling it, so he goes into excuse number four. He says this, I've never been eloquent, never in the past, nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. In other words, what he tells God is this, I don't speak well. You didn't give me the right talents. How many of y'all ever said that to God? He wants you to do something, and Lord, that's just outside of my area of giftedness. You just didn't give me the right abilities. You didn't give me the right talents. And God answers Moses, who gave people their mouths? Who created speech? It was me. Now go. He says the same thing to you. Who invented talents? Who invented gifting? I do. I want you to go, and I will make up for your. I will make up for the falling short. That's what he tells Moses. says, I will be with you and I will help you with your speech. That's what he tells Moses. God is not so concerned with your talent as he is with your faithfulness. And he cares a lot more about your faithfulness than he does about your talent. Remember that. So Moses still is not feeling it, so he goes for broke. He pulls out excuse number 5 that reveals his true heart and our hearts as well. He says, Lord, please just send someone else. I'm out of excuses. You know, I just don't want to go. Send someone else. I don't want to mess up my nice little life, we tell God. I got a good thing going here, God. I don't want to mess up. I'm like Emperor Kuzco. I don't want to set off my groove. I like the rhythm of my life. I like the way things are going. I don't want to mess up my nice, comfortable life. And the God says, okay, I'll send someone else with you. Your brother-in-law Aaron's coming, and he can speak and everything like that. No problem. He will go with you. And when God doesn't buy our excuses, he says this. So he sends us like-minded people along our journey. He sends you, sends foster families, other foster families that support their calling, support each other. He sends you to a church that will support your calling. He sends you to a community group that will pray for you and lift you up. He sends you like-minded people to go along this journey with you. But he never changes his calling on your life. He never let up on Moses, and he won't on you. Because there is not a long line of people waiting to take your calling from you, waiting to do. He does not have a short list. If you don't do it, okay, I'll ask John. If John doesn't, I'll ask Amanda. And that's not how it works. If you do not do what God calls you to do, there will be a gaping hole in the kingdom where you should be standing. I believe that. So guys, so many Christians miss out on the joy of letting the Lord work through them, seeing the fruit of their labor, seeing the fruit of what happens when we are faithful to God, because we make excuses all day long. Remember, people that are good at making excuses are rarely good at making anything else. So we make excuses why we sin. We make excuses why we can't do what God wants to do. And then the worst thing, we make excuses why we cannot be loved by God, why we cannot approach God, why we cannot be intimate with God. As crazy as it seems, it's amazing. There are people in this church. There are people in this church. You may have been a part of this church since the very beginning, 10 years ago. You may have been a Christian your whole life. You may have even gone through the motions of confession and baptism, but your heart is far from God. There are people in here that are that way, and you're resisting his invitation right now. And you're not alone. Jesus told a parable about you 2,000 years ago in Luke chapter 14. He says, listen, this guy gives a feast. A wedding feast, a huge feast. He wants to invite all his friends. And so everything's ready. He's got the food. He's got the fixings. He's got Krispy Kreme donuts. He's got everything there that people like. He knows what they like. He's got everything. And he goes, sends invitations to everyone. Jesus says, and they all like begin to make excuses. First person says, I just bought a field, and I got to go see it. Please excuse me. Another one says, I just bought a team of oxen, and I have to go try them out. Please excuse me. Another one says, I just got married, and I can't come. 3 excuses. And it's amazing. I want to speak to the men in here, because you could tell these were men. Because the same 3 excuses that these men gave are the 3 most common excuses why we can't go deeper with our walk with Christ, men. The field represented his livelihood, money. Team of oxen represented transportation, cars. Wife represented sex. Money, cars, sex. And when those occupy the place in our heart, we're going to make excuses why we cannot surrender our hearts to God. We make excuses why we can't do it. Okay? The first excuse is money. He says, that's what's first in my heart, and I'd rather go after that than you, Lord, because that is what I need. That is what I want. That is where my heart is. Okay, money. 2nd excuse is cars. It's like Cameron's father and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. The Ferrari. Remember Cameron says, he says, it's like that car. He hates his wife. He loves the car. And Ferris Bueller's about to take it out, and Cameron shouts, Ferris, he doesn't drive it. He just rubs it with a diaper. You know, people like that. The car occupies the wrong place in his heart. 3rd excuse Sex. How many of us, our sexual sin is keeping us from going after God? Those are excuses that we make, Jesus says. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. And if those things are in the wrong place in our hearts, we will reject God's invitation to Him. We may be in church. We may be able to sing. We may be even be in a community group. And when those things are in our hearts, we're always giving God excuses why we can't attend the banquet that He's inviting us to, the banquet of His love. And how does this parable end? It says the landowner got angry, and he said, none of these people that were invited will attend my banquet. Excuses anger God. Do you know that? Our excuses anger God. Why? Well, because God knows the difference between the words can't and won't. I want you guys to check this out, because this is where it gets real. He knows the difference between the words can't and won't, unlike a lot of us. Okay? As a pastor, I'm telling you, I always cringe when I hear the word can't. Someone comes up to me and says the word can't. For example, I just can't get along with my wife. My husband and I can't communicate. I can't discipline my kids the way I should. I just can't stop looking at porn. I just can't stop overeating. I can't find time to pray. I can't stop gossiping. I can't forgive that person. I'm sure a lot of us have said those kind of things, but we sound so powerless, don't we? Sounds so powerless. It's all an excuse, because the Bible says something about you that most of me, and many of you, don't know. The Bible does not refer to you as victims or powerless. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And therefore, you have the very Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. And if you think that that is not a power source to overcome everything that you face, you are wrong. You're doubting the power of God. The Bible refers to you, if you're a believer in Christ, as more than conquerors. And so you're not a victim. And this is why God gets so angry at excuse making. Because He knows, He is zealous for your freedom. He is zealous for you. And when we make excuses, we're just stuck. And we do not access the power of God that is literally within us, the Holy Spirit. So I want you guys to do something. The first thing to conquer your propensity to make excuses, I want you to change the word can't to won't, because it's so much more honest. Let's go back through that list again, shall we? I just won't get along with my wife. My husband and I won't communicate. I won't discipline the kids like I should. I just won't stop looking at porn. I won't stop overeating. I won't find time to pray. I won't quit gossiping. I won't forgive that person. You see the difference there? Do you see the difference? One makes you sound like a victim. The other one says, I'm in complete control and I'm making the wrong choice. But at least the excuse is gone. So my questions are these this morning. What excuses are you making this morning? And second, will it be good enough? When you stand before God, will the excuse you've got, is that going to be good enough? I've never been an excuse maker. I wasn't allowed to do that with my parents. My parents hated excuses. Didn't matter if it was a real reason or not. You just didn't make excuses. But I'm going to share with you guys what I believe to be my biggest failure in life in 44 years. I'm going to share with you guys that right now. This week, the 10 days from September 5th to September 15th is always a time of reflection for me, because September 5th was when our son Jacob was born, and September 15th was when he died, 2004. I shared this on my blog. I don't know if you guys read it, but if you didn't read it, I'm going to share it with you right now. My biggest failure as a father, he was born on a Saturday, and we stayed in the NICU with him all that week. And then on that Monday, he was scheduled for surgery the next day, September 13th. And I had been out of the office. I was in youth ministry at the time. I'd been out of the office, and I went to work. And I don't really know why I went to work. It may have been because I'm very, very sensitive to the statements that people make. Oh, you're a pastor. When are you going to get a real job? Pastor, you only work 30 minutes Sunday morning, right? I mean, we get those comments, and I take those very seriously. And maybe I'm sensitive to that, or I was sensitive. Maybe I had an over-exaggerated sense of my own importance, but it was very, very clear. And I'll tell you this, I did not think he was going to die in 2 days. I thought we would have years. I thought we would have months together and years, and that he would graduate school and we would, you know, play sports together, and I'd watch him grow up and get married and have grandchildren. I thought all those things. That's where I was on that Monday. I thought we had plenty of time. And so when my son was fighting for his life in the NICU at Vanderbilt Hospital, I did not even go see him that day, because I thought I had plenty of time. And I missed out on what God wanted me to do and what my son needed me to do. My excuse was that I needed to be at work. And like I said, I didn't think he was going to die. I thought he'd survive, but he didn't. And I missed out on 10% of his life. 10%. And I still struggle to forgive myself, you guys. Isn't that the hardest thing to do, to forgive ourselves? And don't we make excuses why, for some reason, God can forgive everyone else but can't forgive us? You know, I'm not good enough. I've sinned one too many times. You heard that one? And make excuses why the grace of God somehow doesn't cover us. I'll say this. I hear so many Christians saying there's plenty of time for that. I hear so many Christians saying, I will do that later. I hear so many Christians saying, I'll take my faith seriously when I get older. I'll take that mission trip when I can afford it. I'll do this, I'll do that. We'll have plenty of time. And that's what I thought too. And this time of year, I always come back to that. And sometimes it's enough to make me want to quit. Well, who am I? Stand up and preach. Who am I to teach people about parenthood and to talk when my son was struggling for his life in the NICU and I didn't even go see him because I felt like I needed to be at work. And all of our excuses of why we can't are going to come back to haunt us. They'll be our biggest regrets in life. You're making excuses for sins this morning. It's going to be your biggest regret in life. If you're making excuses why you can't do what God wants you to do, the specific calling that He designed you for and called you for and redeemed you for, if you're making excuses for that, that will be your biggest regret in life. And if you're making excuses why you cannot come to the banqueting table of God's love because of some idol that's lodged itself in your heart, you're making excuses why you can't, that will be the biggest regret of your life. We will all stand before God, people. Every one of us. That's what the Bible says. We will all give an accounting for our lives and for ourselves. And I just have one question. When we stand before God, the God of the universe, the Holy One, in all His splendor and all His glory, will our excuses be good enough? Only you know that. People, as we stand to worship, to bring our worship to God right now, I want you to do some business with God right now. I want you to do some business. God loves you. He's calling you to. And like in Luke 14, He's invited all of you to the banquet table of His love. And if you are not planning on attending because you've got something else you need to do, ask you to reconsider. If you've never taken that step of faith, you've been blinding God with your excuses why you cannot become a follower of His, I want to ask you to get rid of those today. And I want to ask you to come to the cross in repentance. No excuses, no justifications, just you in all your raw honesty and brokenness. And say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I need you. No more excuses, God. No more. Finally being real with you. I need you to forgive me. I need your grace. If you're ready to do that this morning, I invite you to do that. We're going to worship. No excuses, no justifications, just you.